Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello and welcome to the conversation. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than gold and silver. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Thank you and welcome. What a wonderful program we got for you today. I took actually last week off because trying to plan a wedding and I was so sick and everything. So thank you and welcome to this program. This week on the program, we're going to take a look back at the life and legacy of the NASCAR announcer Steve Burns. Also, comments that Chris Christie said, Lord help him. And does Hillary Clinton, if she becomes Democratic nominee, have a 100% chance of getting elected still? If you did not catch this on the Boston Marathon, let me tell you something. I got a story that I'm going to start with that's going to change your life. Manchester United is third in the Premier League standings. I think that's probably where we'll be when it's all said and done, and I'm not too disappointed. I mean, if you're going to lose to any team or manager, Jose Mourinho, he's incredible. You know, if it was Arsene Wenger, I might be a little mad because I don't think he's good. I think Arsenal should have gotten rid of him, but that and much, much more. So welcome to this conversation. This hour of the conversation is brought to you by Hillary Clinton for prison in 2016. So go Hillary, get prison. You and Obama and pretty much every other politician out there. Like I always tell people to shut them up. When you have to choose between the lesser of two evils, you're still choosing evil. But what happened this weekend in this during the Boston Marathon? It is incredible. If this man can do it, what's stopping you? And this was actually given to me in my support group. And since it's not about a person in the support group, then it's fine. A man by the name of Mikhail Meland, he's a 39-year-old male, a Venezuelan from Venezuela. He has a muscular dystrophy. It took him 20 hours to complete the Boston Marathon. He had done New York, Chicago, Tokyo, and Berlin, and since it's taken so much of a toll on his body, this is his last one. But it took him 20 hours in downpouring rain to complete this Boston Marathon. The participants, some of them were still there. All the people that, you know, when I mean participants in the actual race, there were some still there. All the volunteers were there greeting him at the end. I was in tears when I read that thing. What's stopping you? He can do it. But then again, this was his last one because it does take a toll on our bodies. So, you know, I mean, I'm 5 to 7.5 miles a day on my body as a chef. And it's taking a toll on my body. And I know at some point I'm going to have to, I don't know what I'll do because this is cooking my life. Someone asked me, what would you do if you couldn't cook anymore? And I said, I'd be a chef. I'd cook. I don't know what there else is. What other careers are besides cooking in the kitchen? I don't know of any. I don't think there is any. Because when you go to Meijer, there's no cashiers. You just go to that self-checkout. You ever see that stuff? What do you want me to do? Shop for it? Bag for it? Now, don't worry. Download that truck. Yeah, I'll put that bread up, sir. It's amazing. Half the times I go in there now and I ask somebody for help. I just work with Hostess. I'm just putting up the... Oh, so I guess they have people that come in, like the chip people, and they do a lot of the stocking and stuff, you know? Like, really? I was end up asking someone that's not work, and I'm the coke guy. But I come in here, I'll help you anyways. Really? Cool. I hardly ever get that guy from, like, Meyer to help me. It's always like, no, I'm that Del Monte guy. That's funny. But anywho, if he can do it, what's stopping you, you know? Granted, it's his last one, but it's just, it's an inspiration. I think it's a great story, and we all need positives in our lives, because we know most of it's not positive right now. But it is positive. I mean, I'm gonna be blunt and honest in the end of the program today, because I'm gonna get sick of it really fast. Because if anyone wants to correct me, is there any Democrat that's considering a run for the White House that's not female? So, because I have a feeling, they're already doing this. They're going to be pushing this race card so bad with Obama, you know, because they did it. Oh, you just don't like Obama because you're racist. Well, they're going to be shoving that down our throats with sexism. All these feminist groups are going to go ballistic. Well, you just don't like Hillary Clinton because she's a woman. Oh, well, I guess Sarah Palin's a man because I supported her. I guess Herman Cain's not black because I supported him, but I guess I don't know. I'm just gonna make me scream. It is. It's gonna make me scream. But that's a whole other issue. I mean, seriously, folks. You know. But like Rush Limbaugh said the other day, and it's so true. He goes, we have a linguine-spined GOP. They're not gonna do anything. If they really wanted to, John Boehner wouldn't have said, okay, Obamacare is the lay of the land now, I guess we got to live with it. No, he would have said, it's wrong for the people, we're going to stop it, end of effing list. No. Well, you know, Obamacare is now the law, so we just kind of go with it, okay. Pucker up, buttercup. No, we're not going to pucker up, buttercup. You know, there was a shooting in our town in 9th and Salem, and it reaffirms why I carry a gun, you know? There's going to be a picture of me as a skeleton on the ground with my guns on me, and I'm going to have a quote that says, now you can have them. That's how they're going to get my freedom. I do my program because I'm fed up. You know, because some people are like, man, you need to chill out, man. I'm like, I guess you don't get it. Yeah, we have more freedom, let's say, North Korea, but it doesn't mean they're not taking our freedoms from us. Because someone would give me crap. I'm like, okay, well, you show me a newspaper article today about a band being criticized for having their music be about Satan. That's all that, when I was a kid, oh, that's devil worship. Oh, that song, Suicide Solution's about wanting to kill yourself, really? Like Ozzy Osbourne said, if suicide is the solution, then why am I here? Because I'm not dead. Because the song is basically about how it's not the way out. There is a way out of all your problems. It's called Jesus Christ. Yeah, I bring him into the broadcast because he's amazing. And you're not always going to agree, you know, but on politics or religion or whatever. That's one thing my grandma always said, never argue politics or religion. I try not to argue politics. My fiance, Melissa, I gotta quote you this with this, but I gotta bring you into this one. Love you, honey. But it's the truth. I'm not hard-headed. I just know what I stand for and what I believe, and I'm not gonna back down. I'm sorry. Name one accomplishment of Hillary Clinton. You ain't going to do it because she hasn't done nothing. She's done absolutely zero. But you know who's going to vote for her? The same people that voted for Barack Obama. Who'd you vote for? I voted for Barack Obama. Well, who's his running mate? Well, it's John McCain. Darn. So what about the Barack Obama's platform? What about his platform do you like? What you talking about? Platform. That's not racist. That's reality. The KKK are racist. That is reality. People that voted for Barack Obama that didn't know anything about him or who his running mate was or anything, that was reality. That wasn't scripted. There's a difference. Choosing between the lesser of two evils is still evil. Yeah, Ted Cruz or Mike Lee are probably going to be a little better than a Democrat, but they're still going to be politics as usual. They're still to be politics as usual. They're still gonna slam us right into the Sears Tower, and we're all on this airplane that's fictitious. None of them are gonna steer us. None of them are gonna kick it out of autopilot and steer us clear from slamming into the, you know. Ted Cruz might steer us just enough to where maybe the wing comes off, but we're all gonna crash and die in the end. You know, I want Ted Cruz or Mike Lee or Ron Paul, but when they're a little bit better, they're gonna stop the bleeding, son. We're still gonna bleed. We're still gonna spend. It's just gonna be less. You know, as I've heard people say that all Hillary has to do is become the Democratic nominee and she's guaranteed in. And I've had other people say, oh, there's other women that want it, and I guarantee you the Democrats are gonna they're the main people that are going to run the Democratic Party are going to be all female, because they're going to push that sex card just like they did the race card, and they're going to get every freaking feminist group from here to Tsinghua to the dome saying that, oh, you just don't like Elizabeth Warren or Hillary Clinton because you're sexist. I'm like, let me tell you something. Like that little black kid said, watch his videos. He's amazing. He goes, I don't like Hillary. I choose on what they stand for. What do they believe in? I would support John Boehner in a heartbeat if he would have said, you know what, Obama thinks Obamacare is the lay of the land, but not me. We're going to get this changed. We're going to put something in that's going to give people that have insurance, they're going to keep their insurance. But for the people that need insurance, we're going to have the availability for them if they want to. No one has to do anything. This is just going to be like we're going to help the states come up with a program so that each state has their own health care program in case your insurance at work is bad or you don't have insurance to work. We're going to make sure that each state has their own program. And they run it the way they run it. If you want to have a state that's bankrupt like California, go ahead. If you want to have a state that's got a positive cash flow like Indiana, go ahead, whatever. You run your state and your insurance the way you want to run it. We're just going to give you the tools to help you out. Which, what would that be? The government, they can't do anything. But, I mean, seriously, I don't get it. Like that kid says, I would vote for a Democrat if they stood for my values and my beliefs. If they wanted to bring God back into this country, if they wanted to cut spending and really try to bring us back, that's not most of them. They want to have, see, what you have is, and I've said this before, it's a dinner. You're going out to dinner and you get $15. Everyone gets $15 to buy dinner. So you can buy a $5 burger or whatever. You can get a steak, it's $20. You got to pay the extra $5. And everyone buys that steak or that like small steak with the lobster tail, the little surf and turf thing. That's like $22 or whatever. And when someone sees, hey, well, he got that dinner, but he didn't pay the extra money in. He didn't. And then, well, if he can get away with it, I'll get away with it. And then at the end of the meal, okay, folks, we got a problem here because 20 of you got that steak. Or the steak and lobster tail that's $22, and you only have $15, and we're short. That means some of you didn't put in the extra money. And then what happens is there's one or two people that put extra money into the kettle to help pay for that, even though they already paid the extra. That's what's going on here. All these politicians are, oh, well, look what I can get away with. Look what I can do. Look what I can. Hey, no offense, Like I told this one person, I said, pick, because I got into it with someone, I said, pick one politician. I don't care who it is, Republican or Democrat. Pick one of them. I guarantee you they've all done something that would throw me in federal prison. And they've gotten away with it. On MSNBC, I think it was Tuesday, Tuesday night. Al Sharpton was talking about taxes and all this crap. And you mean I'm going to take advice on taxes from somebody that owes millions to the government? Him and like two of the people on the show owe like millions combined. Oh, but I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to believe them because, you know, about paying taxes. I don't think so. You know, Barack Obama, Jesse Jackson, Jeremiah Wright, Al Sharpton, none of them would stand with. None of them. If Martin Luther King were alive today, he's turned over in his grave. He would not stand with any of those fools, those clowns. Like that, there's a little black kid that's done videos, and you should watch him because he's so true. I pick people because of what they stand for. Most of the people, they're Democrat, I'm voting for them. I'm Democrat, they're Democrat, I'm voting for them. I'm Republican, they're Republican, I don't care. What do you know about them? I don't know. I'm voting for them because they're Democrat, I'm Democrat. And that's what's sad. I mean, I guess, like, what really gets me is, when are we going to get an educated public? I don't think anything's ever going to change in this country until you get a public that's educated, or you get people that are actually going to take what you say and go with it. And not be someone that's like, well, you know what? Let me tell you something, folks. I don't care what the video shows. I don't care what the evidence shows. I support Barack Obama. You ain't never going to get me to change. I don't care. Even if he was flown over, put on a mask, beheaded all the Christians, and you have proof of it, when are we going to stand up and get some educated people in this country I try to be educated because, first of all, it's my freedom, but I'm a political nut. I love watching the races, and it's neat to see how government functions or doesn't function or whatever, you know. When they sit there and my mom goes, you just need to find something that you can make for 50 cents and sell the government for $25, 30 bucks, and they'd probably be getting a deal from you. I'm going to drag my dad into this because he had a real experience. They used to have a maintenance hangar with United in Indianapolis, and my dad did the platforms. And the platforms, if you don't know what the platforms are, he built platforms that you can put welding equipment and stuff on. That way, when the plane comes in, they go up the staircase and they get on this platform, and they're able to go right under the wing and work on the different various parts of the planes. My dad was doing them for like $20,000 or something, I think it was $19,000. He was making a gold mine off these things. He was ripping United Airlines off. But people were going off because they were charging like $100,000, all these other people, and they went ballistic. How can you come in here and... Because they were charging like $95,000 for these things. My dad goes, you got to be kidding. I'm charging this much, and I'm making more than... He wasn't ripping them off, per se, but he was making more than enough money. So it's just one of those things that you go, wait a minute. And that's how the government is. You know, people try to find something they can make for 5 cents and sell for 40 bucks. And then you got politicians that are doing the same type of thing. Well, let me see here. Let's see if I can get that steak dinner for 22 bucks, but then only use the $15 they're giving us and walk away without paying the extra. And then you got the people that I vote for Barack Obama. Well, who's his running mate? Well, it's John McCain. Hello. John McCain. You idiot, it's Sarah Palin. Sorry about that guy. He thinks that John McCain's Barack Obama's running mate is Sarah Palin, you know. You know, Republicans just don't like her because she's a woman, you know. And it goes down. It goes from all these crooks and criminals in the Washington, D.C. area down the line to people that don't know any better to keep electing these clowns. I mean, if they're so great, why don't they want term limits? Why don't these people that are in Congress 30, 40 years, why aren't they pushing for term limits? Think about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And remember, this hour of the program is brought to you by Hillary Clinton for Prison 2016. Wow, but I don't know if you heard this. If he gets elected, Chris Christie, I don't know if you heard this, he wants to crack down on all the states that have legalized marijuana because they're breaking federal law. When there's Alaska, Colorado and Washington State that I know of that are completely legal. All these other places are medically legal. And you're going to tell me that, wait a minute here, he's going to go in and crack down on all these places where they've made it legal? Like that's going to fix the problem when there really is no problem? I tell you, what we're going to do here, they've actually, like I've said before, they found illegal drugs in solitary confinement. But they're going to eradicate marijuana and all these drugs. Really? I don't get it. Just call pissing. Well, if you have people in the police forces and they're going to lose all this money that they're getting to fight the war on drugs, well, there you go. I wouldn't want to lose $4 million a year to help fight the war on drugs. People are so out of touch. Well, Sean Hannity said, is marijuana making us stronger or weaker? That's not the issue. Is it making us stronger or weaker? No one is saying, well, it can cure, well, Dr. Sanjay Gupta is like, it can cure cancer. Can it cure cancer? Yes, it can. I believe Steve Burns might have had a fighting shot. He would have used cannabis. I want to talk about him in a little bit. Shock to us all, but no one's, because I'm like, yes, it's making us stronger. You know, this notion that, well, everyone that smokes weed just going to sit on their butt and be lazy and not do anything. Nah, that's not the case. Are there going to be people that do that? Yes, sir. But it doesn't mean that everyone's going to do that. No, 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 no. We're not asking the right questions. When you have people arguing, well, look at what Bush did, because you bring up what Obama's done. No one's saying, wait a minute. How does choosing the lesser of two evils get you good? Choosing the lesser of two evils is still good. That's the problem, folks. No one's asked. Well, it's like I showed Mom and I shocked her when I showed her the video where Sarah Palin was on Greta Van Susteren's show. And she's like, I wasn't allowed to talk about Barack Obama's relationship to Jeremiah Wright or how he was connected to the Weather Underground and all these things. I couldn't talk about that stuff. They told me not to, that they would eat us alive. What do you mean? If you have proof that Barack Obama is in bed with people that want to have this country torn apart and dismantled and no longer existing, are you kidding me? It just drives me to drink. But that's what, no one's asking the right questions, and I don't think they, I mean, is there a reason why they're not asking the right questions? Yeah, all we're gonna have is a bunch of stoners. Well, you show me how Colorado is going in the toilet. You show me about how all these people are now wasting their life away, not working, you know, driving, killing everybody. Show me where the accidents are up in Colorado. Last I heard, they were going down. I don't see millions of people not working in Colorado. So, that's basically all I got to say about that. Pardon me? But that's how it is. No one's asking the right questions, and I try to. Well, I can. But I don't get it. I don't know. Like, you take two steps forward and one step back. So that's just how it is, you know? I mean, I don't know. I look at it because I try to look at it. But then you have, like, MSNBC's The Establishment and all these that they're kind of like, this is what I'm told to say. This is what I'm told to do. So that's, you know, kind of like, this is our agenda. I don't have an agenda. You know, this is how I know who I am. I know what I stand for. And that's basically what I'm about. And, you know, you may agree with me, you may not agree with me. But I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to be who I am. Melissa said it best. I'm not hard-headed. I just know what I stand for, and I'm not going to change. You know? And I just wish people would get more educated, you know, so that they knew, because, I mean, I just don't know how people can know all that there is about a person and still have positive thoughts about them. Chris Christie's a Republican GOP. I'm not voting for him. No way in heck. But anyway, as we move on, I wanted to talk about something because so many people want me to diss. Well, you don't say anything negative about someone who is GOP. I hardly ever see anybody that's a Democrat diss Democrats. But then you don't diss Republicans. I don't hear you say, I went off on George Bush all the time. They just don't want to know it. I'm going to go off on whoever I want to, because if they don't support what I believe. I'm not party. I'm an American. Look, go on my Facebook and look it up. I'm an American. I'm not a Republican or Democrat or... That's just who I am. I'm not going to sit there. I mean, if this guy stands for what I believe in, darn right I'm going to support him. I'll get his back. Look at how many political buttons I have. Very few from anybody, because no one really stands for wholeheartedly what I believe in. So, you know, educate yourself. Know your past. Know your history. Know where we've been. Then you can move forward. We've got about a half an hour left in the program, and as I've told you before, this full hour of the program was brought to you by Hillary Clinton for prison in 2016. Let's send her and all the congressmen and senators there. But Rush Limbaugh said it best, you know, they're a linguine spine. They're not going to stop Obama, or they would have done it a long time ago. Enough said about that. As we move on, folks, we're a little bit about a NASCAR legend, Steve Burns. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he was a Fox NASCAR race day reporter and started in 1982 at an NBC affiliate and worked through NASCAR. He used to actually host Inside Winston Cup Racing, which became Inside NASCAR. And he was 56 years old and he was battling cancer. And in like three days, they turned that Food City 400 in the Food City, I mean the Food City 500 at Bristol, became the Food City 500 in support of Steve Burns. Now, if that ain't God putting that together in 3 days, but all they had to do, and he saw that race, and that was, I think, a touching moment that he got to actually, from the hospital, see that race and see and know how many people loved him. I liked him because he seemed real. Tony Stewart, what are you mad about? I'll tell you what I'm bleeping mad about. The bleep. That guy took us into the wall. You know, he didn't want to be the story. He wanted to be like, okay, what happened? Here's the mic. I'm going to step back and he was real. And I guess I always try to look at a lot of what I do I love Tom Brokaw. Yeah, he's a huge liberal, but he was a great reporter. When he was on NBC, he was someone that you would look up to, not necessarily for his political views, maybe for me, because he's very liberal, but I liked the way he did stuff. And I think we're all a wired mesh of many different people that we come in contact with, and, you know, and all that hunky-dory stuff, so, you know, and people that influence us, and he was just one that, I guess one thing I always got from a few people in life is, do letters F-O mean anything to you? And Smokey and the Bandit. If you know what those two letters stand for, you understand where I'm going with this. Be who you're going to be. And the people that are going to take your back, they'll be behind you. You know, if you want to call me sexist, racist, whatever. Like, I'm good. I'm friends with Malcolm's brother on Facebook. And he said the best, keep it real. And I'm like, I do. I'm not going to change. I am who I am. You may disagree with me, but in the end, I'd probably take a bullet for that guy because of what he stands for. He stands for trying to do the right thing. We all want the same thing, folks, just different ways of going about it, you know, and I just try to be who I am, and if you like me, you do. If you don't, you know, and Steve Burns reminded me of what I always tell people, you know, Melissa, I love you. Mom and Dad, I love you. Larry Chabella, God bless you. You know, and George and Amy, can't wait to see you at the wedding, but love you, folks. But every day is a gift you've been given. Make the most of the time every minute you're in it. Life Means So Much by Christopher Rice. Look that song up. Listen to that song. And as we go back into history in this Throwback Thursday, it's hard to believe it's been 36 years ago yesterday that Brett Midland joined for the first time the Grateful Dead to play at Spartan Stadium in San Jose, California. And somewhere I have the first set of that, either the first set or the whole show on tape. I don't think I got a little tape cassette player to play it, but man, he was amazing. And I remember an old girlfriend of mine, she used to do the post office, and her mail carrier that she did, she subbed on his route. So she subbed on like four people's routes when they were off, and she subbed on his route, and she goes, this guy looks like Brett Midland. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You don't know it. And when he came up, I'm like, holy, you're Brett Midland. He looked just like Brett Midland to a T. And he goes, Melissa, you know, your girl said you thought I would. And he didn't know who he was. I'm like, when I showed him a picture, he goes, dang. I'm like, you could have put them side by side and they looked like twins. Well, I remember my friend Tina one time. She went up to this at a grocery store and went up and said, "Hey, Kyle, how you doing?" All stuff, and it wasn't me. So there's someone that said that there's someone out there that looks just like you. But yeah, it's hard to believe it's 36 years ago. Well, it's funny to think I got a Grateful Dead shirt that says it has like 18 million tickets sold. You know, then it goes 1 million hours of music, you know, then it goes 100,000 fans, and it goes all the way down, you know, like 644 Black Labs, you know, like 1,000 some VW buses, 644 Black Labs, 30 years, one band. And it was like a shirt that I got when, like, for the 30th anniversary. Now they're on the 50th. And it's like, dang. Well, that Grateful Dead shirt, I still wear it, even though it's got moth holes in it and it's stained up. It just, because they were like so real. I mean, they made you feel like you're a part of the band, and it's just, the Dead is something that you can't explain. If you never saw them, it's hard to explain. And they're actually pay-per-viewing. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, because supposedly there are going to be fandom events where you can go to the actual movie theater and see them for the Chicago shows. And there's people still looking. I've had people tell me that we need to just go up to Chicago for one of the days and just try to see what happens. You know, just take like some money and just try to. But the only problem is up there is there's no scalping. So like you can't, there's no way to verify your ticket. You know, is this real? You know, but I'd just love to maybe do that, but who knows? I mean, that's the least of my worries for the honeymoon. I need to actually go work on that today. That's what I might go do, but, you know, they're just a band that made you feel part of them. And I guess they're going to do all the shows via pay-per-view. Like, they're going to be streamed online. I guess there's going to be fandom events where they're going to actually have them in the movie theater. That'd be cool if you could find a IMAX and watch them, because that'd be almost as cool. And I guess, like, during the intermissions, they're going to have, like, interviews, and some are taped and whatever, and different things and fans. And so, but that's going to be kind of fun. Dang it. But then it's going to be a lot different than if you're there, you know. Because, like, it's hard for me sometimes, unless I'm doing something, to put on, like, a bootleg of the Dead and hear the whole thing straight through, you know, on video or whatever. But it's fun sometimes at work. I'll do that because now there's a ton of Dead shows on YouTube, and you can just click on one. And that way I can just commercial-free pretty much straight through without having to change music, you know. But I got about 21 minutes left in the program, folks. And one thing I wanted to talk about is just a little bit about some football news. Manchester United, I think, will stay third in the Premier League table. I really do. I think that's where we're going to be. And I'm not disappointed. I almost wanted to cry, but I was with my girl, but I didn't when we lost to Chelsea. You know, of course, my buddy, Kit Frazier, he's like, "Yep, Chelsea blew." I'm like, "Well, you got a better team. I'm sorry, you do." I mean, I'm not gonna lie. You know, Jose Mourinho is a great manager. He's really good, and I mean, if he would have said, "Okay, I'm gonna go to Manchester United," I wouldn't be mad. You know, they're a decent team. And I think this is just sort of like a building year, and they're gonna learn from this. It's like the Miami Heat when they first got LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and all those players, and they had to learn to work together. And you know, now that they're gonna have some continuity next year, look out, boys, because the Reds are gonna go fly. Yes, sir. And this is for all the women out there that listen to the program, okay? Saturday, Detroit Tigers took on the White Sox. And why did they leave Sanchez in the game with bases loaded? Why did they keep him pitching? Women, we're going to yell at the TV screen. Yeah, we're gonna yell at the TV when someone we hate wrecks out our favorite driver, or when they leave a pitcher in that should be taken out of the game, or when there should have been a red card or even a yellow card called when there wasn't, when he scored a goal when technically we think he was offsides. Yeah, we're gonna yell at the TV. And yeah, no one there can hear you, but we're gonna do it. Why? I don't know. Because we're men. That's what we do. We just think out loud and just... I know there's women that do it out there too, that are huge sports fanatics, but mainly men. And then the woman goes, no one can hear you. I'm like, well, you did. Rest my case. But I think they'll be third, you know. And I don't know if Gabby DeGea is going to stay. I don't have any... I don't think he's going to leave. So I don't stay or go. I think that's pretty much to the wayside. But it's, I think once we get some next year and we get people, okay, now they've been there a year. Now they've been able to gel. They've had time off to where they can, you know, just relax and, you know, and train and do stuff. And, you know, and besides their international duties or whatever, you know. So, I think it's going to be a good time, you know. Third place, I'm happy, and I'm already ready for next year. Hard to believe. I think my ticker said it's 150 days to the Rugby World Cups. I'm actually trying to look into figuring out how I can get that, because I was in Paris for the Rugby World Cups in 2007. If any of you don't know, and that was incredible. If you, I mean, pick like Texas A&M game, pick like Notre Dame USC, pick Purdue and IU, you know. Imagine in one city having the Purdue Notre Dame football game, I mean the Purdue IU football game, the Notre Dame USC game, having Texas A&M, having Miami and Florida State. Having Alabama, LSU, having all those games going on in Indiana. That's the Rugby World Cup, or the World Cup in general. Rugby World Cup is incredible. You're in a field, a guy's buying bread and cheese and just passing it all around. You know, like we all pitched in money and they got a bunch of baguettes and some cheese and wine and meats and we just sat and watched the games. It's incredible. Hard to believe it's three World Cups ago. But it's going to be great. Chef Michelle's like, I'm going to be in Ireland, which is pretty damn close. I'm like, man, take me with you. I want to go. I'd love to go back. It's an experience, because it's not as big as the World Cups of soccer. So, you know, and it's just, if you ever have a chance to go do it, it's worth it. That's if you're a rugby fan. If not, I'll do it anyways. I always tell people, one of my friends said this, Michael Pelton, he goes, you want to have the greatest experience of your life, you have a 50% chance of doing it. When you know who the two teams are for the World Cup finals, pick one of the countries and go to it. And if they win the World Cup, you're going to party like you've never seen. But, yep, folks, we have 15 minutes left in the program, yes. Folks, we are men, and yes, we are going to yell at the screen for no reason, even though no one can hear us except for our wives. Yep. I mean, what do you think is going to happen if we get the pay-per-view for the dead shows? You think we're not going to carry on and have a great, amazing time? Well, no one can hear us. Oh, so I'm just going to lie motionless as they play music? No, we're not. Oh, wow. I tell you, though, with that, because my dad's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, the TV. I get emotional when I watch NASCAR. Sorry, you know? We do. It's just our nature, you know? It's like Steve Burns and like a buddy of mine, Dewey Stamper, Mama's son, Dewey. went to go watch NASCAR race, and he was done, went up to bed, and that was the last time we saw him. I remember I was sitting there for like an hour and a half, 2 hours with Mama Ruth, and we were at the viewing home, and I'm just like, I'm just waiting for him to come out and say, hey, man, you know, surprise. I said, it's just one of those things that, you know, you never know. Always cherish the day, man. Always make the most of it. I try to do, and as I move into a kind of a health segment, because, you know, I still try to, I don't know what I'd do. You know, because for two things, you know, I can't sit down, you know. If I'm around the campfire and my girl tested this, I got to be hitting something, okay? I got to have my bow ran out or spoons or something. I got to be playing something. I just can't sit there. I got to be singing, clapping, you know. And I can't sit down. And I don't know what I'd do if it had to get out of the kitchen. You know, I had to, you know, I don't know what I'd do if I had to retire. I mean, she's told me a couple of times, you need to take time. I don't understand time for myself, and I got to figure that out. You know, because I don't know. I'm always a goer and doer. I'm doing this radio program. I'm planning a wedding. I'm running a group. I'm cooking. That's why I've, like, thrown, like, several people down for cakes, because I'm like, I'm just, no. No, I don't want to, I'm so busy right now, and because I'm planning a wedding and this and that, and I said, I just don't want to make an inferior product. I don't want to sit there and just, you know, and if you're not happy, you ain't paying for it. That's always been my philosophy. I'm not going to have you pay for, because I did one for Jocelyn Osborne. She goes, how much are you? I said, nothing. I said, this is a gift. It's my gift to you. You know, I've known you how long, and just what I wanted to do for you. And she goes, are you serious? I'm like, enjoy it. Take it back down to Alabama, because the fondant will keep it fresh. Just put plastic wrap over the parts that are exposed that we ate, and take it down there, and it'll be great. And if they don't want the fondant, they can just peel it off. And she said, that was one of the best. Oh, I said, I ate more than I should have. I'm like, of course. Then when you gain 10 pounds, don't blame me. Oh, I ain't got to blame me because it's my cake. It was a Weight Watchers cake. Not. But anywho, you know, so I've turned people down just because of that, because. But I guess, you know, my biggest advice to people is just live your life, man. Enjoy every minute of it, because you never know. You never know, man. I'm giving you a moment just to ponder and think about things, because we all do that. And I got to start figuring out how to take time for myself, because, you know, I'm about do for others, you know, because, like, where I'm at work mainly for them, not for me, you know. So that's who I am. And so, and I think we all need to, you know, put the car in park and say, hey, what have I done for myself lately? Unless you're someone that's all you do, you know, when you're someone like me that, you know, that doesn't take time for himself, you know, I need to. And I guess we all need to take that little break. And, you know, when that MDA guy, that Venezuelan, did that with the Boston Marathon, I'm like, that's just so amazing. Oh, I could do that too. I just wouldn't be able to get out of bed for about 2 days, you know. I'd just be sore and burning, but I could do the marathon. I just, you know, I'm seeing him do it, I almost just want to, like, sign up for one of those and just do it and say, hey, I might be 7 hours, but I want to walk it, you know. (Clears throat) it's just, I mean, there is a lot of positive in this world, and a lot of the show is all, it's not negative to me. It's just, it's not going back doomsday or stuff. It's okay, this is what I feel. We don't have an educated public, you know, we don't, you know, and we need to have that. We need to have more people stand up. We need to have people saying, hey, look at what's going on that's positive. Look at what that guy did. You know, I mean, but my work is a prime example. You have people that, oh, I'm on vacation with my parents. I can't come in. Really? I mean, there's got to be, I don't know. I mean, they're going to wake up and realize, oh, you know, in my day and age, I feel bad when I have to, like, here's my note from the doctor. I can't breathe. You know, I've got this infection. I don't, you know, I feel bad when I got to stay home. Because me and, because Missy and Jeff Brummer were at the banquet last night. And I was talking to Missy. She goes, well, we have these college kids where I work pulling in all the damn time. I'm like, God. You know, I just, she goes, this got to wait till they get in the real world. And I said, yep, they'll learn really fast. You know, and it's just when you see someone like me that does everything you can to get up and go and do every day, and then you get people that, like, I'm just so tired. I'm like, you have no idea. You know? You have no idea. And it's just, you know, you got to take what God gives you and go with it. Because you never know when it's going to be your last, you know? And I guess that's what I try to do. I try to live every day. And somebody asked me, well, how would you want to be remembered? You know, it's, you know, I said, I just, a human being, someone that just, I just want to be known for someone that had a purpose in life. And life is not just about you. You're not the only one on this earth. You know, and we all got to work together. And so, it's just amazing. When I keep going back to that story that I read with that muscular dystrophy doctor, and this guy put this comment, he goes, if he can do it, what's stopping you? And I went through my head, you know, ever since I've read that, and it's just, you know, that's just so positive, you know, in this world of negatives, you know, we need to come together. And that's how we're going to get this world back. You know, violence doesn't end violence. Love does. You know, we need to stand up. There's one nation, I forget what the... I'm going to see if I can find this article. They abolished... Where was it? Yeah, it was Norway deports 824 Muslims that they accuse of being Islamic. And all these people that were against it at first, now are like, wait, okay, yeah. And they're standing up. You know, we need to do something. You know, we need to come together. And that's what I guess I try to get from this show is, you know, I'm an American. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm an American. We all are. If you come to this country, if you are a citizen, you're an American. You might say, hey, well, you know what? My ancestry is from South Africa, or my ancestry is from Ireland. You're an American, though. You come this, you know, I know white people that are from Africa. You know, I wish, you know, this African-American term, I think you should be able to use that if you were born in Africa and you came here, like Barack Obama. You know, but we need to get to the realization, especially, like, okay, I believe in patron saints. My girl don't, but we have more in common than we do not in common. We all want the same thing in life, folks. Health, wealth, and happiness. We all have a different way of getting there. And what I want to leave you with about 3 minutes left, is it's the hardest thing in the world to do, but give it to God. You know, I don't think I would be with Melissa today if I hadn't gone through what I'd gone through. If I hadn't, you know, would we be like we are now if we would have met 20 years ago, 10 years ago? We'd have been different people. You know, I don't understand. It's plan, you know. You take Van de Gaulle's plan, you know, the A-team. Hannibal's plans don't always work right. They just work, you know. God's plans just work. I don't know why he does what he does, but he does it and it works. And you never know when you might be that person that helps that other person. You can make a difference. You don't have to have a degree to make a difference in someone's life. I never thought in 100 years, I'm like, I need help, man. I was in Target for 20 minutes. No one understands me. I got diagnosed with myopathy. What am I going to do? I'll start a support group. I need support. I never thought I would have two people from Turkey that are in Egypt and all over that are helping each other. And, you know, if you want to learn, you'll learn more about something in the kitchen by screwing up than you will doing it right. And you may be that one person that intervenes in with the other person.
90 seconds.
So, as we move on with 90 seconds left, folks, just be there, because you never know. You might be that one person. You might be that person. You might be that saint that God sent to do something. I also want to remind you all, me and my girl basically have zero. I paid for this whole radio program myself, you know. As I said, it's sponsored by
60 seconds.
Hillary Clinton for president in 2016. I pay for everything to do this show, and we're actually getting married in June 27th, and we actually have a GoFundMe page. So there is a YouTube video if you look up stuff on YouTube. It is Marriage Starting Life Together GoFundMe is the thing. And if you look that up, it is our GoFundMe page video. And it has a link to get to the GoFundMe page to help us so we can get basic necessities to live. I've been wanting to mention that, but I haven't been able to, and I keep forgetting. So go do that. And we thank you so much. And
10 seconds.
Until next time, I want to thank you all for tuning in. God bless you. And goodbye.